often remember, it wasn't too terribly long ago that I was getting ready for a new school year, just actually 2 years ago when I entered into my final year of seminary. And I remember from the time, well, as long as I can remember, that the new school year was often exciting for me. I would make sure that I spent time getting my whole year ready. And I would always say to myself at the beginning of the year, Cassie, this is the year that you are going to be organized. And so I would buy a brand new calendar, and I would write down every assignment, and I would have it all mapped out. And you know what? I would always lose that calendar about 2 weeks in. But I always tried. And I would go to the store and I would buy brand new pens and highlighters and a backpack, and I would be ready to kind of reset, to start anew, to begin this new journey. This is an opportunity that God offers to us all the time. God gives us the invitation to reset, to be transformed, to be made new. This is the opportunity he offers to the church in Ephesus that Paul writes when he says the words that Robin just read for us. When he says, you've been connected to that old way of life. It has got to go, Paul says. It is rotten through and through. Get rid of it and take on a new life. It's time to reset, Paul says. And so he talks a little bit about that old way of life, and he says, now this I affirm and I insist that you must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in their futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from a life of God. They are alienated from a life of God. I have been this week reading a book by a man named Henry Nouwen. It's called Making All Things New. And in that book, he kind of splits it up into three parts. The first part is kind of what he means by what it is to make all things new. And then he goes through, and by the end, he offers some meaningful spiritual practices that we can encounter so that we can also make our lives new. But as I was thinking about this week, one of the things that I recognize, and I think I've said this in a sermon before, is so often we are defined by what it is that we do in our lives. How many of you have ever been asked the question, what is it that you do for a living? Yeah? And sometimes we're defined by that. I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'm a choir director. I work here. Our lives are defined by what we do, but I think God calls us to something new. Rather than to do, I think God calls us to be children of God, to be in relationship with God and one another. And so as we think about this idea of resetting, I want us to think about what in our lives or how in our lives can we be transformed into the people that God is calling us to be. As I said, I've been reading this book by Henry Nouwen, and one of the things that he says at the very beginning of his book, he says, one of the most obvious characteristics of our daily lives is that we are busy. Anyone relate to that? We are busy. We experience our days as being filled with things to do, people to meet, projects to finish, letters to write, calls to make, appointments to keep. Our lives seemed overpacked, like overpacked suitcases that are bursting at the seams. In fact, he says, we are most always aware that we are behind schedule. Anyone else? That there's this nagging sense that we have unfinished tasks, unfulfilled promises, unrealized proposals. That there is always something else that we should have remembered to do, something else we should have done, something else we should have said. There's people that we didn't speak to. There's people we didn't write to. I don't know about you, but often if I had two lists of the things I accomplished in a day versus the things I didn't accomplish, my didn't accomplish list would be much longer. And often, that is the list we focus on. All of the things we were supposed to do and didn't get done. Now, the funny thing about this kind of life, this busy life, we all smile when I say these things, like, yeah, that's true. And it all stresses us out, I'm sure. But being busy in our society has almost become a status symbol. It's something that people expect of us. That people think, if we're not busy, then what are we doing? We should be filling our time with accomplishing things. But I think in Ephesians, we're called to do something different. In Ephesians, they were told that their old life was being alienated by God, or alienated from God. And I'm wondering if part of our alienation from God, if part of the distance that we feel from God comes from filling up our lives with the wrong sorts of things. Our busyness, our schedules, our checklist, those fill up our time. But do they fill up our souls? Do they bring us in closer relationship with God? As I was, this week I went to a conference, and we were given two images for ministry. And they were given to us in the context of pastoral ministry, but I don't think that they are isolated to the ministry of the ordained. I think that ministry really is about each and every one of us. As followers of Jesus, we are all called to ministry. That's the whole concept of the church, right? That we come together as the body of Christ. And this ministry isn't really something that we do, but it's something that we are. And so this image that we were given, the author of the devotional said this: if you are living in communion with God, if you know that you are beloved, if you make yourself available for service, you cannot do other than minister. Ministry is the overflow of your love of God and others. Ministry is when two people toast wine glasses and something splashes over. Ministry is the extra. I love that image. Ministry is what splashes over when we are filled up. Ministry is the extra in our lives when we are so filled up with love. But I wonder, does our busyness, does our worry, does our stress and our anxiety, does that give any extra to splash out onto others? Or does it simply just drain us? The second image that we were given for life in ministry, we were told ministry is the splashover, the extra. Or, as Stanley Hurwitz says, being in ministry is like being nibbled to death by ducks. How many of you ever feel that way in your life? Like you're being slowly picked away by the stuff that is going on? Some of us, many of us, that our lives feel like they are just being chipped away or nibbled away. Rather than being filled up, we are drained. We are torn apart. And so the question is, then what do we do? Because busyness is at the heart of our society, right? It would be extremely countercultural for someone to say, how was your day? And for you to say, you know, I wasn't busy. I didn't really have much going on today. Right? What did you accomplish today? Oh, not really much. But what I did accomplish today was I had a great conversation with God. Was I felt restored and refreshed and renewed. Has anyone ever said that to somebody else when they said, how was your day? No. Our most common response is, we were busy. Oh, I got this stuff done. Oh, I'm tired, right? Or, oh, I'm good. But God calls us to something different. God calls us to be in communion with God. If you remember back to your Old Testament lessons, the Israelites, they were in captivity, right? For generations, right? They were enslaved in Egypt. And then when they left, they spent 40 years from the desert, right? And in that time, God gave them some commandments. Do you guys know what those commandments are? We call them the Ten Commandments, right? And one of those commandments is to keep Sabbath. And they were told to keep Sabbath because for generations upon generations, they had never been able to rest. They had worked over and over and over again, day after day after day, hour after hour after hour, and never given rest. And so when they were finally freed, God commanded that they take Sabbath. Now, we could spend an entire sermon series on what it means to take Sabbath. But if we're just going to start small this morning, I wonder how many of us take rest. How many of us take time to delight in God? Other than maybe just our 30-minute devotional in the morning, or our Sunday worship service, or an evening prayer time, how many of us get a substantial block of time to delight in God? In Henry Nouwen's book, he talks about these practices that we can follow to help fill us up, to give our lives a more spiritual focus, to renew us and to enliven us and to allow us to be reset and be made new. And the first spiritual practice that he offers is solitude. Time alone, time with God. But the second practice that he offers is community. Community and being with others. And I love this quote from this book when he talks about being in community with others. So often, one of the things that we do when we get together in small groups is we get together in like-minded groups. Like, I am in so many small groups, like, for pastors, I used to be in small groups for teachers, right? We get together based on things about the things that we do, whether it's crafting or music. But one of the things about church and Christian community is we come together because of who we are. Because we are beloved children of God. And so in this book, Henry Nouwen says this, community has little to do with mutual compatibility. Similarities in educational background, psychological makeup, or social status can bring us together. But this is not the basis for community. Because community, church, is grounded in God. This God who calls us together. And not in the attractiveness of people to each other. There are many groups who have formed to protect their own interests, to defend their status, to promote their causes, but none of these are Christian community. Instead, what community is breaking through the walls of fear and to create space for God. This ministry is a ministry of all people, of brothers and sisters in Christ, sons and daughters of this heavenly Father. And so as you go throughout this new school year, if you are having an opportunity to reset, or as you think about just going into the fall, whatever this time brings for you, I would encourage you to reset a little bit, to make your life new by being in a deeper relationship with God, and also being in a deeper relationship with one another. Not based on interests or commonalities, but based on our love for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, on this morning, I thank you for new opportunities that you give us. God, I allow us that you can make us new each and every day. God, in our Wesleyan tradition, we know that we are constantly offered grace. And this day I ask that we respond to it by being in deeper connection and deeper relationship with you. God, allow our ministries, our time out in the world to be the extra, the love spilled over rather than feeling like we're being nibbled to death by ducks. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.